Hey, how's everybody doing? This is NWO Elite Outdoors. This is Jason Allen. I'm with the one, the only, Pops. Pops, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
And we're down here in Camden, Tennessee. I think you guys remember last year we had Eric Slayton on here. Eric, how you been doing?
Great.
Wow. Also, we got three newcomers on here tonight, kind of popping their cherry on a podcast. I got Jared. Jared just recently moved to Texas, and I've got Matt. Matt, you're from?
Lafayette,
Middle Tennessee. And Jeff, you're living in?
Portland,
Tennessee. So we came down here. Eric talked to all of us about getting into a group to do a lottery draw for a blind. Correct me if I'm wrong on any of this. It's in a flooded food plot. TWRA put these out how long ago?
Probably July.
You mean as far as the blinds?
Yeah,
how long they've been there?
How long have these blinds?
The food holes, oh, the blinds? Well, they just... actually, that was like 2 or 3 years ago they changed to the Tier 2, or the new system, and they built those Tier 2 blinds that are TWRA-built blinds rather than the previous method was... The individuals who drew the blind were responsible for building your
okay. Okay. And I know that you said you've been down here before hunting, and you said that it was okay.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I've been here, we hunted with some other guys that had one of the blinds that doesn't exist now. They eliminated that blind, but it was pretty good. Yeah, it can be, you know, like anywhere else, sometimes it can be empty skies, but sometimes it can be a real barrel burner. So
okay. So we put in for the drawing. I don't think it cost anybody anything, did it? Last year it cost me and Pops $12 each because we're out of staters. I don't know why it didn't this year, but whatever. But other than that, Pops and I did one day of hunting. We killed a fat fox squirrel and saw one rabbit, and that was it. It was not a good day. We've hunted for about an hour and a half, and we've lapped that property probably 3 times. That was not fun. But we did get Nick out hunting that day. He got to fire off a shot, which was good. Let's see. Let's start with you, Eric. Eric, a lot of big things going on in your life, you know, in the last, you know, 6 to 8 months, you know. A lot of stuff going on, you know. Tell us about your badass duck hunt in Nebraska.
Okay, so that was actually, we did duck and geese in Nebraska, and I really enjoyed it. It was a little bit slow from what they said it can be there, but it was a different type of hunting. We did a lot of field hunting, just dry fields. And so normally here, we always hunt water. So that was really cool. We hunted like a cow pasture field a couple days, which was interesting. There was a pond there, so there was at least some water, but apparently the I didn't know this before, but apparently the geese were coming in there and eating the cow shit. So, seriously, I guess they go in there and they scratch through the stuff and flip it over and eat the little green sprouts that come up underneath. But I've also heard they will scratch them open and eat unfed, like undigested grain in the poo, which sounds gross. But all right, whatever.
Overall, what was your total bag?
We had 40 geese and 18 ducks.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
And how many days?
That was 7 days. Yeah. So,
man, how far was that drive?
14 hours.
Where'd you stay?
We stayed in Grand Island. And then we actually were traveled to several different places. We hunted several different places that week. But all of it was within an hour of Grand Island there.
Okay. All right. How many shells did you go through?
Not as many as I thought. We took a lot of shells, I don't know, maybe we shot a case of shells or something. A little less than that, actually. But me and Dad both. So we actually shot really well. So, and one thing, too, is he had a good dog. So, and you did, you know, field hunting in wide open fields, you didn't have to worry about blasting cripples and shooting a half a box of shells at a crippled duck that's trying to flutter off into the woods and get away. You know, it's just a big wide open field. I mean, they can run all they want to, but they're not going to get away from the dog. So Yeah, that I think that's probably why we saved a lot of shells.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Also, you I know we didn't talk about this in January. When did you do your charity thing you did?
That was actually in 22.
Yeah, that's what I mean. We didn't talk about it in January when we had our podcast. But
yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you did?
We built a bridge in Rwanda. The organization is called Bridges to Prosperity, and their mission is to build footbridges in rural areas of... now they're in East Africa. They had been working in the Central America countries as well, but they moved out of there and primarily working in East Africa now. So we were in Rwanda, and we were in a very rural area of Africa. It was like, for real... Africa.
Didn't you say you stayed in like a just a building?
It was a building. They said before when we signed up and we went, they said they would try to find us a accommodations that had hard side walls, and they did. They were actually brick walls, but it had a roof, but it leaked a pretty good bit. So but anyway, it was it was interesting. The so the toilet was a hole in the ground.
Okay. And
yeah, that's the way they do. That's
and how long were you there?
2 weeks. Yeah.
And so that was in 22. What month in 22?
It was February, I think.
And then you went to Hawaii with the family, right? After that, didn't you?
That was last summer, 23's Hawaii trip. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I knew it was something crazy because you were going out of country and then to Hawaii. That.
I did. I'll just add quickly, too, about the Rwanda thing. It was really interesting there that, because I know your podcast is about wildlife, and so I asked some of them there. I didn't notice that there's very much wildlife there, not even squirrels or anything. And I asked them if they had deer and stuff, and they just kind of look at me like, what are you talking about? But literally, there were no animals other than domestic animals. Nothing. No deer, no nothing.
Did you eat any horse?
No, I ate a goat though. They had goat.
Ah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I think they already ate them all or something there. I don't know, but I mean, there wasn't even a squirrel or anything there. I was amazed.
They did let you get acquainted with the goat though before you ate it, right?
Yes, they had. When we came back from working one day, and they had the goat tied out right outside the door to our room where we were sleeping. It was tied there.
Oh my
there
God!
I always wondered what in this courtyard area of that little building in the center where there wasn't a roof over, but it was inside the walls. There was rebar coming up out of what was some concrete ground there. I guess you'd say whatever. I don't know. Just obviously it was some concrete there in the floor, but. I was always just like, I don't know why they have rebar sticking out of this thing. Well, I found out that's where they tied the goat to. And so, we came home and like going into where our cots were to sleep, and there's a goat literally right outside the door. And then the next day when we came back, the goat was on the grill. And
all right.
So, yeah.
Kind of been heartbreaking if you did a... Never mind. I'm not even going to say that. Anyways, so Jared, you moved to Texas recently. How was that move?
It's we're about 700 miles from Bridgeport, Texas. That's where we've been living. It coming up on a year now. Moved in February, so it's been a trip. We've been back to Tennessee several times this year. Fortunately, for family or work or what have you, so those 700 miles get shorter each time. But like I said, we live in Bridgeport. It's an hour north, about an hour north of Fort Worth. So that's north central Texas. So and we've enjoyed it. It's a lot different than Tennessee. A lot of flat out there.
Yeah.
Come back to this area, especially.
A lot of damn good barbecue, too.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. I would say we have had some killer brisket up there and smoked turkey and poppers. And, my palate for for spice and meat, I've probably become a bit of a snob.
There's nothing wrong with that. You still camping? I know you guys got a camper recent or a newer
we
one.
We did, yeah. We got a camper here a couple of years ago. The only trip I made this year was 4th of July to San Antonio, see our niece Bailey, and we blew the transmission on the truck.
Oh, on the way
down there. So we were able to limp it down, limp it back, but then the truck was down or on light duty there for the remainder of the summer, and so.
Oh, that sucks.
It just got to be 110 degrees, and we said we'll figure this camping thing out next year.
So. Yeah, for sure, for sure. Have you been there long enough to do any kind of hunting or fishing?
No, we we sold the boat before we went down there. Didn't want to haul it. We had a ski boat, but okay. But actually, for this next year, we'll be looking at getting a Bass Tracker, a center console, or something. We are 10-15 minutes from Lake Bridgeport, which has got. It's got some good fishing, I'm told, for bass and crappie and stuff like that. So,
okay.
About 80 foot deep lake. Ultimately, it feeds another reservoir that ultimately feeds Fort Worth. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What about do you have a lot of land where you live?
We're on 3 acres there, and then it backs up to a cattle farm. Five generation farm, and we're the type of folks that need that little bit of space. Need that little bit of space.
Oh, I don't blame you. Yeah. The reason I was asking, I know that feral hogs are pretty bad in Texas. I didn't know if you had any issues with that on your property or the cattle farm's property.
Not particularly the feral hogs. Then we've seen a few armadillos and bobcats and
any jackrabbits.
No, I've not seen any jackrabbits out there on our area yet. So, in fact, when we first moved out, we're talking about whitetail. I didn't see any to start with, and looking around, I can see a long ways off, and I said, this doesn't look attractive to deer. The neighbors are telling me they'll be here in the fall, and they are. They're running across out and around the neighborhood, and neighbors got a deer lease up north of us, so hopefully we'll make that connection work next year.
Are the laws different as far as hunting whitetail as they are in Ohio? I'm from Ohio, from Tennessee. Are they different? And if they are different, like, is it a drastic change to the way Tennessee does things?
I think it's going to be super similar to Tennessee.
Okay.
They want you to, they're kind of in the mode of culling some does, right? Give you a big doe limit, and then you'll have I think as far as antler deer, two per season as well. So does that sound right? Is mm-hmm. that track of what Tennessee is? Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. When are you moving back? I'm just kidding.
Two more years.
So, Matt, you're big into turkey hunting.
Oh, yeah.
How long have you been turkey hunting?
Probably 20 years.
20 years?
Five or 6 years old.
How many are you allowed to get in Tennessee?
I think you can only get two now. It was four.
Do you guys have a fall season?
Yeah. I think you,
so you can get
with the archery, though.
You do two in the fall and two in the spring, or just two total the whole year?
No, there's
no, it's separate.
Yeah. It's separate.
Let me tell you what I found out about Michigan today. We heard this on a podcast. Michigan this year just started this. In the spring turkey season, they're allowed to kill as many as they want. Hmm? Hens or toms?
Either or. As many.
And then, in the spring, they're only allowed to kill two, and they have to be toms. Which I heard
spring,
it.
You said wait.
No,
you,
I'm sorry. The fall is unlimited.
The fall is unlimited. Okay.
Spring is two toms.
Yeah.
So we were listening to Meteor podcast today with Steven Rinella, and he's from Michigan. He lives in I think Montana now, but he told us that today. He said he thinks that's insane. What do you think about that, Matt? I think you're killing the population.
Yeah, I mean, you're thinning them out pretty quick.
I mean, they do that for another 3, 4, 5 years. It's going to go way down.
Yeah, well, it depends on how many hunters they have and how many of them participate.
Well, once they hear it's unlimited in the fall, they can have turkey in their freezer forever.
Yeah, but that's like Middle Tennessee. You can kill 125 deer a year, but nobody does it because what are you going to do with 125 deer? I mean, you could be coming out your ears. I mean, you ain't got enough freezer space for that anyway. So
Wasn't it your dad that was telling me the one time he put six does down while he's sitting in the sand?
Yeah.
Because he had all those permits. Maybe it was four. It was four. I think it was four. He had all those permits, and he just sat there, and he just pecked one off. wait a little bit, pepped another. And at the end of it, he goes, well, I got four deer. I got to go. But I just thought that was crazy about turkey. So I heard turkey hunting's really, really tough. Like, you got to be stealthy. You literally got to make sure that they're very keen with their senses.
Eastern birds are probably one of the hardest birds to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it ain't like an Osceola or a Rio.
Mm-hmm.
You call in, they come running.
Okay.
I mean, you actually have to work to get an eastern bird.
So, do you kill two every year? Do you always limit out?
Shoot, I ain't killed one 2 years.
I guess they are hard to kill now.
You said oldest, your son got one?
A 5-year-old boy got one last year as his first bird.
That's awesome.
And my wife, I called her in one, and she said someone had to stalk it, but they like to hang up about mid-season.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's probably worse now because this past year they shifted the dates.
They shifted it a back. Whole week.
Yeah.
Later.
Yeah.
Instead of being earlier.
And I find that it's harder the later in the season.
Yeah, the opening weekend of juvenile was probably the best weekend, and then opening weekend for us, they was already hung up. I mean, it was impossible to kill them.
That sucks.
You call them and they just look at you and just turn around and walk the other way.
Now, have you ever hunted in the fall for them?
No, I don't do much hunting in the fall for them.
Okay, I didn't know. Do you know anybody that has?
No, not around here.
Anybody know? Anybody that's hunted turkeys in the fall?
Is it just archery? You can use a shotgun now.
You can use a shotgun now.
But
it used to be only archery.
It used to be during the archery deer hunting, and then so that's why some people would kill them with the bow in the fall, like because you would be deer hunting with the bow anyway, and you're just sort of incidentally taking the turkey because it walked by while you were deer hunting. But I don't know anybody that really specifically targets.
I didn't know if they were.
I'm sure there are some people, but we don't.
Most times, somebody kills turkey, you know about it, but not many people kill turkey in deer season. They usually just kind of keep them till the spring.
Okay.
They're more limited.
It's more fun in the spring. They're more vocal, and it's more challenging, but it's more fun, I think. So everybody wants to spring.
No, I know nothing about turkey hunting. Is that their mating season in the spring?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Now you get them talking on the roost in the mornings, and then they fly down. You try calling, you might hear them gobble once, but you might not hear nothing the rest of the day. Man. Then you actually get to go looking for them.
Just stalk them.
Stalk them.
Well, Jeff, how you been?
Been good.
Is your boy hunting? Has he been doing that?
Not yet. He wants to go, but he hasn't reached the age where he'll shut up long enough to go hunting. Sitting out in the woods talking all
day. Now, you know, Dad would take us hunting, and he would be quiet. I am quiet.
Yeah. Have you done much hunting this year?
Man, I haven't been hunting in like 2 years.
Oh, man.
I think the last time we went? The last time I went duck hunting was when y'all came down here.
Yeah, when we sat there and did nothing.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Watched the sky with nothing in it.
Yeah.
Was that the year we were sitting out there in our shorts in the blind?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It was 60 degrees.
Hot.
It was hot. Yeah, I remember hot. That. I was going to say something about whitetail hunting because it was something that came up. So in Rossford, where we're from, we have an abundance of deer in our town, like ridiculous amount. And I'm talking trophy bucks.
Inside the city limits?
Inside mm-hmm. the city limits, like down by the post office.
I had 4 deer in my front yard the other morning.
So.
Well, you can hunt them, can't you?
Mm-mm.
No, it's inside the city limits.
With archery?
Yeah, that's what I'm getting to. I got a story for you guys.
Okay.
So. One morning, this one woman gets up, and she's going to work, and she gets in her car, opens her garage door, puts reverse camera, comes on. She goes, what the fuck is that? There was this deer. It was a 12-point, big-ass fucking deer, just laying right behind her car.
Mm-hmm. In her driveway.
So she called the non-emergency police number, and the chief came out. Chief's a friend of mine, and he took pictures. They found the arrow. It was a crossbow bolt. Well, so the chief did some investigating, and the guy came around 2:45 in the morning, stopped at the stop and go in Rossford, got out of his, there was a camera on the stop and go, and there's a camera on the library. Got out of his truck, went to the back, got his crossbow, went around, got back in the truck up here, drove down the street. The last camera that caught him, he was going down to Eagle Point, right? Well, they had it all on camera, license plate, everything. He was in the company work truck. Mm-hmm. So first they called the company and said, did you have somebody here in this area, blah, 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 blah. The guy goes, yeah. He goes, it was this guy. Okay. Can we talk to him? Got his number, talked to him. They interrogated him. He said, yeah, I was there. I was there at that time. Well, what'd you stop and get out of your truck for? He goes, oh, something was rattling in the bed of the truck. I had to get calmed down or whatever. Well, I haven't heard the rest of it, but I'm pretty sure he's done. Another thing I'm going to talk about, I'm sure all of you here have heard about it because it was like the laughing stock of the fishing world. The walleye cheaters.
Oh, yeah.
I heard something about it.
Yeah.
I have not heard this
one. Okay. So there was these guys, Jason and, no, it was Jake Jayden. Jake and Chase. So they were big in this walleye circuit that was up at Lake Erie, and this guy ran it, his name was Jason. He had heard for years when he took over this as tournament director, he'd heard about these guys, and he always gave them a fair chance because they never gave him a reason to believe they were cheating. Mm-hmm. So this one, go ahead.
But none of the other fishermen liked him because they knew they were cheating.
Yeah. Mm. So. Oh, my God.
But it couldn't be proven.
So they went to a tournament in Rossford that Bass Pro was sponsoring. And they got caught. They were given a polygraph, and they failed it. So that was kind of the first little sign of what's going on. So they go to the next tournament, and it was a one-day tournament? Yeah.
Yes.
It's a one-day tournament. For team of the year, they would have got 10 grand. And for winning that tournament, they would have got 8 grand. Okay? So they only needed 20 to 25 pounds of fish. Okay? So he had a feeling. He saw their bag when he came in. He said, all right, I'm going to weigh you guys last because it's for the drama, for the crowd. Like, yeah, all right, here we go, right? So held them till last. Put him in the tank, got him out, brought him out. He put the big fish in there. And as he's looking at this big fish, he goes, this Jason guy goes, the air just left my freaking body. This fish was the same size of the fish he was weighing before, that he's weighed over and over and over for the last 5-8 years, however long he's been running it. This fish came out, probably about a 4.5-5 pound fish, came out to be like 7.9 pounds or 8 pounds.
Wow.
So then they put the other ones in. But the other thing you noticed with the fish looked like zombies, and they shouldn't look like that.
And they were discolored.
Yeah. So he says, all right, you guys won team of the year. You guys won this tournament. Go over there, take pictures and stuff. And so this Jason guy, I want to check these fish out. So he starts checking them out, feeling them. He felt something on her stomach. He's like, what the hell's going on? These motherfuckers were taking 12-ounce lead balls.
They're pushing them up in their throat.
And they were wrapping walleye fillets around it so it wouldn't feel like metal. Mm-hmm. So this guy rips open his stomach and says, we've got waves. And he's like, get the fuck out of here.
That boy went to jail.
Oh, yeah, for 10 days. They got 10 days of jail time.
But how much jail do you, I mean, what?
They got, it's a felony charge of theft for what they did with the tournaments. That was dropped. Oh, wow. That was dropped somehow.
It's like $10,000 a pop.
Yeah, it was, they're fine at the end, because I read the thing today. It was $2,500 they had to pay. Sorry, that's the dryer. Wow, that's a long dryer button.
One of them old school.
So their fine was $2,500. They spent 10 days in jail, and they only lost their license for 3 years. That's it.
But I don't think they're allowed to enter another tournament.
They're not allowed to enter tournaments. No, that's correct. You're right on that. But here's the other thing, too. They didn't have to give back any of the bass boats they won or anything like that.
Sounds like they made out pretty good.
Well, here's the other thing. Like, it was probably that happened in September. I think it was about...
It was around August, September, wasn't it?
Yeah, the very next year, the one guy got in trouble for poaching deer, and they found out he had been doing it for 8 years. Yeah. Like, it was on ESPN. It was everywhere. Like, it was stupid. Anyways, that's wonderful.
I guess once a cheater, always a cheater.
Yeah.
There's sportsters, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, I do know that that walleye trail thing that they do, it's really cool because you don't have to fish in just Lake Erie. Like, for example, you can go to – it's a $35 fee for the whole year. And let's say, Jeff, you catch a 10-pound walleye. And you're like, you know what? I'm entering this. I already paid my $35. You go to one of the bait shops. They'll weigh it. They'll give you a certificate. You call it in with the registration number, send it in. This guy this year was fishing with a little John boat, with like a little 8-horse, caught a 12-pound, 2-ounce walleye. He won a $130,000 bass boat. Like, it's really
decked out.
It's not a bad idea. But anyways, that's kind of the things that have been going on since I talked to you guys about Ohio and everything. But let's talk about tomorrow. Can somebody tell me what the weather's looking like tomorrow?
Raining.
Raining?
Okay. It's going to be, the high's 52, and I think it's like 80 or 90% chance of rain.
Okay.
I thought for like 1 inch of rain.
Is that later in the day? I thought it was Tuesday.
In the afternoon.
Afternoon, because Tuesday is going to rain too, right, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to start raining tomorrow afternoon and through Tuesday.
So.
Which is fine. I like it.
It's ducky weather.
Yes.
I will say that today when we were setting up decoys, we did see several duck out there. So that was a plus. More than we've seen in the last 2 years. So. But anyways, thank you guys for tonight. We'll talk tomorrow after we limit out tomorrow. Hopefully we're back by noon. It's a possibility, we never know, but anyways, take it easy. We will talk to you guys tomorrow. Later.